It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Only 25 days, that's all it took, Brett. You know, the White House itself today invoked the old political adage, it's not the crime, it's the cover-up, acknowledging that the president's national security advisor did not come clean about telephone conversations he had with Russia's ambassador to the United States.
Fantastic job.
The president had nothing to say today about firing his national security advisor, but his press secretary revealed that Lieutenant General Michael Flynn was shown the door because Flynn had lost the president's trust.
We've been reviewing and evaluating this issue with respect to General Flynn on a daily basis for a few weeks, trying to ascertain the truth. We got to a point not based on a legal issue, but based on a trust issue. Where the level of trust between the president and General Flynn had eroded to the point where he felt he had to make a change.
The White House insisted there was nothing illegal about phone conversations Flynn had with the Russian ambassador during the transition, even if the two had talked about sanctions. What cost Flynn his job was telling the vice president he'd never discussed sanctions, which Mike Pence promptly repeated on national TV.
I talked to General Flynn yesterday. And the conversations that took place at that time were not in any way related to new U.S. sanctions against Russia or the expulsion of diplomats.
The president was made aware of the phone calls when the Department of Justice called on January 26 to say Russia might have information with which to blackmail Flynn. The president turned the case over to White House counsel Don McGahn.
White House counsel at that time undertook an extensive review. Both of materials and questioning. I'm not going to get into the specifics. What I will tell you is on multiple occasions, they had an exhaustive and extensive questioning of General Flynn on several occasions based on information that was provided to them or materials that were provided to them to review.
Sandy Rios with you. That was John Roberts last night on Fox. The first part of his report on the resignation of Lieutenant General Michael Flynn. By the way, when Brett Baer set up the report last night, he said Michael Flynn was fired. He was not fired. He wrote his own resignation. And so I just think that those things are important. And I have a lot to tell you about this. But before I go into it, let's listen to John Roberts, the second part of his report.
The White House would not divulge what evidence the counsel's office weighed to determine no legal wrongdoing on Flynn's part. While Republican leaders in Congress didn't comment on any legal issues, they said the president did the right thing.
I think the president made the right decision to ask for his resignation. You cannot have a national security advisor misleading the vice president and others. So I think the president was right to ask for his resignation, and I believe it was the right thing to do.
Democrats leapt to fan the flames of the controversy, arguing laws must have been broken, asking, what did the president know and when did he know it? Charging the White House and DOJ. DOJ can't fairly investigate Flynn.
The White House counsel cannot lead this investigation. And the new attorney general cannot be, Jeff Sessions, cannot be the person to lead that investigation.
Yeah, I wonder why not. All right. How can I make this simple? This is a very intriguing story. And I am awash in information about it. So let me try if I can. First of all, you have to know that Lieutenant General Flynn is a hero. And he tried to restructure the intelligence agencies in the country. He confronted them. And so he made a lot of enemies inside the CIA and the NSA and all of the agencies. They're angry with him. And not only that, but he calls out what Islamic extremism, what Sharia is. He's very blunt about it. While, you know, I've already told you many times before that the head of the CIA, the past head under the president, is sympathetic to it. We think he may likely have converted to Islam himself. That's John Brennan. when he was stationed in Saudi Arabia. We know. Do I have to even explain or convince you that the Obama administration was friendly to Islamists, did everything that they could help? You think he did that by himself? No, it's because the intelligence agencies and the military agencies were all either populated with people who were sympathetic or who didn't care enough about it to risk their careers. And so Michael Flynn has a lot of enemies. And then you carry that even further. Michael Flynn was the person who revealed the ridiculousness of saying that we had, you know, there were so-called friendly Syrian rebels. This is what John McCain and Lindsey Graham said. Oh, the Syrian rebels, and we had to arm the Syrian rebels. When, in fact, Flynn made the case that that was the beginning of ISIS because we sent so much material to these so-called rebels, so much firepower, so much military hardware, that Flynn said it was the beginning of ISIS. Well, so John McCain and Lindsey Graham are not happy with Michael Flynn either. So Lindsey Graham is out, you know, criticizing. We need to get to the bottom of this. And, of course, the Democrats are gleeful. It fits into, they are fitting this, molding this with the help of the media into their narrative that the Russians caused Donald Trump to win. And they, you know, they, because they leaked email and they sabotaged our elections. Now, there's no proof of that still, but that's still the narrative. But now if Michael Flynn, the national security advisor to the president, talked to the Russians, and it's the allegation is that it's illegal. And could I just say it's not illegal? The statute that they're citing was written in 1770-something, and it was about the fact that American citizens are forbidden from making deals with foreign powers that would affect American policy. They weren't talking about incoming national security advisors to the president within weeks of taking power, making the transition. And the other part of this, I think I should let Catherine Herridge give her report, and then I'll talk about it. This is Catherine Herridge from Fox.
The Republican chairman of the House Intelligence Committee wants the FBI director to review the leaks, which reveal sensitive discussions and likely compromised sources and methods for future intelligence collection.
If you look at what's leaked out about General Flynn, the national security advisors, conversations that he was having with the Russian ambassador, I've just never seen anything like it.
The Flynn phone calls with the Russian ambassador are problematic because there are special protections to shield Americans when the intelligence community picks up their conversations while monitoring a foreign national. Those safeguards were apparently violated.
If you look at the fact that an American was having his phone call listened to by the government and then leaked to the press, if the shoe was on the other foot here, and this was a Democrat, you can imagine the Democrats in the House and the Senate would be going crazy if this happened.
A former Justice Department official said identifying the American caller would have required approval from the intelligence courts, as well as senior Obama administration officials, since the calls were made in December.
The existence of warrants, the existence of a wiretap, the fruits of the wiretap, the identities of the people having that conversation is all kept secret and highly classified.
Dupree, who worked for the Bush administration, said the national security impact would not be lost on career FBI investigators.
The information that was leaked is among the most sensitive classified information in the United States government's possession. This is information that any national security official who ran across this or touched this would instinctively know that this is not meant for public distribution.
Democrats said the leaks are beyond the point.
If the Republicans' takeaway from this is that we have a leaking problem and not that we have a problem with the Russian government and its relationships with the Trump administration, they're taking the wrong lesson away.
Separately, a Democratic source said tonight the trouble may go beyond Flynn, and a government official confirmed to Fox News that the former national security advisor was interviewed by the FBI in late January. Flynn told Fox News this morning that he believes the leaks were targeted, coordinated, and a possible violation of the law.
All right, so to capsulize that, the law says, this has all come out of 9/11 and the surveillance techniques, that the agencies can monitor phone calls from American citizens overseas. But they cannot, how they do this must be magic. Obviously, it's not working. They can study the side of the phone call that is the foreign national, but they cannot factor in the side of the conversation that comes from the American citizen. And their identity, it's, again, as it was explained in that report, it is the top secret. It is not, they are forbidden from talking about the name of the American citizen having the conversation, much less the content. And yet the Washington Post, the New York Times, all writing about this. They know, see, about these conversations with General Flynn and the Russian ambassador. That is an illegal act by somebody in the intelligence agencies. And let me just mention the FBI. The FBI said early in January that Flynn was not the target of an investigation. And now we know now he was the target of an investigation. And the FBI, somebody's in the FBI knew that it was Michael Flynn. And that is forbidden because under the law, the American in these conversations that are surveilled is not, the name is not supposed to be revealed, nor the content. All right, so let's say the content is available. If what Michael Flynn said to this Russian ambassador is illegal, if he said something terrible, why don't they leak the words? Why doesn't somebody talk about what he actually said? I'm not asking that they do that. I'm making the point that if there is really some there, they've already tipped their hand that somebody inside the intelligence agencies is leaking like a sieve, the highest of security, to newspapers, and the newspapers are printing it, then why wouldn't they just say what he said? Instead, it's a cloud. Well, he may have done something illegal. He might have. And so you see how this happens. I should read just the headlines from these news stories to you today. One is the political assassination of Michael Flynn. One is the CIA broke the law to take out its critic, General Flynn. America's spies anonymously took down Michael Flynn. That's deeply worrying, and that's just a few of them. So I'm going to go into this a little bit with you in the few minutes that I have. And this is from Thomas Lifson of The American Thinker. Make no mistake, we've just witnessed an operation by members of the CIA to take out a high official of our own government. An agency widely believed to have brought down democratically elected governments overseas is now practicing the same dark arts in domestic American politics. Almost certainly, its new head, Mike Pompeo, was not consulted. Senator Chuck Schumer, of all people, laid it out on January 2nd. What was going to happen to the Trump administration if it dared take on the deep state, the permanent bureaucracy that has contempt for the will of the voters and feels entitled to run the government for its own benefit? And here is an excerpt. New Senate Minority Leader Charles Schumer said Tuesday that President-elect Donald Trump is being really dumb by taking on the intelligence community and its assessments on Russia's cyber activities. Let me tell you, you take on the intelligence community, they have 6 ways from Sunday of getting back to you, Schumer told MSNBC's Rachel Maddow. So even for practical, supposedly hard-nosed businessman, he's really dumb to do this. All right, so that's Schumer tipping his hat as to what he expected was going to happen. And back to Thomas Lifson. Note that the law was broken by whoever leaked the transcripts to the media. Not only is the crime underlying the scandal being ignored, but the criminals are being hailed. On Morning Joe's first hour today, the host, a former congressman, a lawmaker himself, called the leakers heroes. And David Goldman, he cites David Goldman, who was our guest yesterday, who goes by Spangler, writing for PJ Media, says the CIA has gone out of its way to sandbag Flynn at the National Security Council. As Political reports, on Friday, one of Flynn's closest deputies, it goes on to talk about one of Flynn's closest deputies tried to get security clearance and was denied it after having held it for 17 years in an act of spite and revenge against Michael Flynn. And Spangler goes on to write, a.k.a. David Goldman, yesterday, General Flynn is the hardest of hardliners with respect to Russia within the Trump camp. In his book, Field of Flight, Fight, which was co-authored by Michael Ledeen, which, by the way, we talked about with Michael Ledeen and with General Flynn on this show, warned of international lines of evil movements in countries extending from North Korea and China to Russia, Iran, Syria, Cuba, Bolivia, Venezuela, Nicaragua. He wrote extensively about the dangers of Russia. It would be absurd to think that General Flynn did not understand the dangers of Russia and that he would cooperate. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, House Democrats have these three Islamists doing their IT and still not firing them. But that's not talked about. I have a lot more to say about this, but when we come back, we're going to talk about Ivanka Trump and her line at Nordstrom. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
In the darkest parts of Mumbai, India's red light districts, all it takes is a little bit of money, and a young girl, maybe as young as 8, is trafficked, her innocence stolen.
They made me sit in one place, and they sent a man near me, and then things started happening in the wrong ways, and I had no way out.
And it was every single day.
Morning, they used to come. Afternoon, they used to come. Evening is the same thing that we used to do. And even if we would express that we were tired or it is hurting us, they would not listen because they have paid a huge amount for us and they would get what they wanted.
But you can make sure it never happens again when you team up with AFR and India Partners. Right here on AFR, we'll show you how your gift of $7.08 provides a day of safety, rescue, and care at a safe house operated by India Partners. So how many children can you rescue? Learn more and give now at AFR.net.
Hello, I'm Ed Vitagliano, co-host of Today's Issues each weekday morning on American Family Radio. I'm also Executive Vice President of American Family Association, the parent ministry of AFR. I just want to welcome the many new listeners to the AFR family as we have expanded into several new areas over the past 6 months. Who pays for AFR to stay on the air, you might be asking? Well, the answer is simple. AFR depends on our listeners to make financial contributions so that we can keep our radio stations on the air. If you appreciate the news, talk, information, and inspiration that you receive from AFR each day, we ask that you remember us financially when funds allow. You can make a donation at AFR.net or by calling 800-FAMILIES extension 2. That's AFR.net or 800-FAMILIES. Please keep us in your prayers as we continue to impact America for Christ.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and Commentary next. How would you like to finish your degree online? Truett McConnell University makes that possible with their top-notch online program. You can even earn a master's in theology. For 70 years, Truett McConnell University has been preparing students to fulfill God's high calling on their lives, on campus or online. A degree that can not only change your life, but also your workplace. Truett.edu is the website. That's Truett.edu. You've probably found yourself in a situation like Nick Taylor of Roseville, Michigan. It was bone-chilling cold the other morning. Nick had dropped by his girlfriend's house, so he left the car running in the driveway to keep it warm and toasty on the inside. He was in his girlfriend's house for about 7 or 8 minutes, but when he got back in the car, there was a ticket on the windshield, $128. Turns out it's against the law to leave a car running unattended in Roseville, Michigan. The police chief defended the hefty fine, telling CBS News he actually encouraged the officer to leave the ticket. The police chief said he's just trying to stop someone from stealing an idling car. But Nick says he plans on fighting the charge. In his estimation, he believes the police have no business telling a person what they can and cannot do on private property. For more on this story, be sure to check out ToddStarnes.com.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at Sandy@AFR.net. That's Sandy@AFR.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. Well, you know, as bad as the news is, we can always think of people who really have so little hope and so little choices in this world. Probably when you woke up this morning, you sort of designed your day, made your list, and no matter what the bad news, you still are a free person. And that makes me think of our the little girls in India that we're trying to help through India Partners. Imagine if someone had complete dominion over you about when you slept, whether you slept or not, forced you to do things that violate your conscience, your heart, are a horror to you. Well, that's what's happening with these little girls in Mumbai who are being sold into sexual slavery as early, as young as 8 years old. I wouldn't doubt if some of them are younger than that. They grew up in the red light district. And so we are in the process of helping India Partners raise money to get these little girls out. And they provide, you know, shelter. They teach them about Jesus. They give them a chance to just sort of get a new start. They educate them. They provide, of course, food and shelter, but they have to get them out and it costs money. And in order to provide a day of care for these little girls, it's $7.08 a day. So if you haven't yet come to the rescue of these little girls and you want to do it, because we will only be talking about this a few more days, why don't you call them now? It's 877 616-2396, 877-616-2396, or go online and give your best, most generous pledge to AFR.net. That's AFR.net, or a donation, one-time donation. And thank you in advance for your generosity. Well, we've talked a great deal about Michael Flynn's situation, about his resignation, and I cringed when shortly on the heels of it, I heard Kellyanne Conway's name being mentioned, and now an oversight committee wants to go after Kellyanne Conway. And why? All about Ivanka Trump's line at Nordstrom's, her product line being removed from Nordstrom's and other stores, and Kellyanne in a Fox and Friends interview the next morning simply said this. Let's listen. Cut 8.
And they're using her, who's been a champion for women empowerment, sure, women in the workplace, to get to him. Just, so I think people can see through that.
30
go
seconds.
Go buy Ivanka's stuff is what I would tell. I'm going to go get some on myself today. It's a wonderful line. I own some of it. I'm going to give a free commercial here. Go buy it today, everybody. You can find it online.
All right. So based on that, you know, profound commercial that Kellyanne Conway did for, Ivanka Trump's line, she's going to be investigated because they smell blood in the water. Well, all right. Dan Gaynor is joining me this morning. He's with Media Research Center. He's the vice president of business and culture, and they track things like this all the time. And I haven't talked to Dan in a long time. Dan, it's great to have you with us.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you. And there's so much going on right now in the media, and it is almost 100% against Trump. Against anybody affiliated with him. What Kellyanne Conway did, quite honestly, it shows the kind of weird connection when you switch from going from a campaign to the White House. And it's, you know, someone talked to her, the White House Counsel Office talked to her afterwards, and yet what she did was wrong. Is it earth-shatteringly bad? No. All she was doing is projecting her own boss's anger about this. Back in 1950, Harry Truman threatened to punch somebody, beat up a Washington Post art critic because of the way he had written about Truman's daughter at the time.
I mean, because because she was a bad singer, and she had done a performance, and Truman was proud of her, and the reporter trashed the daughter. Yes, I remember that. I wasn't alive, but I do remember reading about this. And Harry Truman, yeah, you're right. He said he was going to punch the reporter.
So I mean, what Kellyanne Conway did, people forget, when you are a spokesperson, you're basically an avatar for that person. You are trying to represent their anger. I'm sure she had heard Donald Trump very upset about this. And so she was just, you know, basically saying, you know, acting in his stead. It wasn't right. It's not earth-shatteringly wrong. Oh, gosh, the media who thought it was okay to lie to the American people about Benghazi and pretend that a video had, you know, was the cause of what happened in Benghazi, now want to go crusade against somebody because she said shop at a place? And, of course, the left has responded in kind. All sorts of liberal activists are like, oh, you got to shop at Nordstrom now. Everybody from Chelsea Handler, who I hate to mock people's intellect, but they usually have to have intellect for me to hate to mock it. And then, you know, drag queen RuPaul and others. It's just, this is what the left is going to do. They want to destroy anyone and anything associated with the Trump administration, to the point where there's a Baltimore business now, Under Armour, if you're familiar with the company.
Yes.
It's an incredibly successful company. Well, Kevin Plank, the CEO of Under Armour, met with Trump and came out and said some mildly positive, sort of very cautious comments on CNBC. The result is a guy who's bringing the biggest development project in the country to Baltimore, $5 billion development, was called a white supremacist by a Baltimore City Council person simply for those very discreet comments.
You know what this reminds me of, Dan? There is an attempt to work through commerce. I mean, we have a right in a free system to shop where we want to and not shop where we don't want to. But there is such a violence being applied, like a violence in terms of accusations and act against anyone and anything that supports Donald Trump. It really does remind me of, do you remember back, okay, here I'm making the comparison of the Nazi boycott of Jewish businesses. You remember writing Yudim on the windows, and anyone that shopped in those stores was, horrific. So they targeted commerce, and they sullied it. Organizations and stores that were supposedly icky, like Yudim. And so now I feel like they're doing the same thing with the Trump brand.
Yeah, that's the whole sort of left mindset, is to adopt the brown shirt tactics of the 1930s. That's the violence you see at these, Trump's been in office, hasn't been in office a month, and we've had two riots. A couple hundred people being charged with felony rioting after the inaugural attack. We had Berkeley. We have this, when I use this term, I really mean like Salem. They have a witch hunt going on for anyone affiliated with Trump. I've never seen the media like this. You read the media commentators in print, Jim Rutenberg, Brian Stelter on CNN, and it's like they represent the opposition party. This is the kind of thing you would see in Venezuela or some other banana republic.
I was just looking here. It is. And just to further what I just started to say about the Nazis targeting stores, they boycotted Jewish businesses. There's a picture here of a Nazi standing in front of this store holding signs that say, "Germans, defend yourselves. Don't buy from Jews." And it's just amazing. I just want to drive that home, that this is exactly the tactic that was used by the Nazis in Germany, and it's spread now. It's not just Nordstrom's; it's Macy's, now Sears, Kmart, TJ Maxx. It's like it's taken on the ick factor, and they all jump on board, just like they did with designing clothes for Melania Trump. It's not even that they just don't like them; it's that they make it as though any company or entity that supports the Trumps is. They want to destroy that person.
Yeah, and then
it's
then
not just
the flip
we don't prefer
side. We saw it with the Grammys. Joy Villa, who wore the Trump Make America Great dress at the Grammys, her album shot to number one on both Amazon and iTunes because conservatives are sick of this. And so now conservatives are shopping based on courage. Now, I had never even heard of her. She tends to be sort of a person who trolls the Grammys by wearing provocative stuff. But if she had worn a provocative impeach Trump instead of Make America Great Trump dress, she would have gotten the same level of media coverage, and she would have been adored by the left. So, yes, what she did was courageous. And so I'm glad to see her succeeding at it. We're in a world now where every single aspect of our lives, from the Super Bowl to Grammys, is become political. And what's funny is that it takes somebody who is a professional left-wing activist like Lady Gaga to not go there. So the media want to go there constantly, and even she didn't really go there with a halftime show. So maybe that's a shred of hope, but I don't see much that is hopeful for this getting solved in a rational manner.
Dan, I know you didn't. I'm asking you this question without preparing you for it. But do you know? I've heard a lot of discussions, but we don't. Okay, let me pause here about people responding to Nordstrom's. I own a Nordstrom's card. I love Nordstrom's products, and I haven't yet, but I've been telling my listeners I'm going to. I've just been busy. I'm cutting up my card and I'm sending it back with a note. I'm not shopping at Nordstrom's. I don't care how beautiful their clothes are. I'm not going to do that. Now, I know there are other people doing it, friends of mine, but we don't have the megaphone of Chelsea Handler. But do you all know anything about that sort of counter movement? And do you know anything about whether it's true that Nordstrom's has had record sales or that their stocks have gone up?
Well, their stock had went down and then went back up. It went, remember, the left has a lot of power and they're really good at the boycott-boycott game, much better than conservatives. Because if you're a liberal in America, you're used to living in your bubble. If you're conservative, you're used to living in a world where almost every news organization you follow, almost every entertainer is on the left, and I think you're much more tolerant of it. I look at the singers I like or the actors and actresses I like, And they're almost universally to the left, a few on the right, but not many. And I tend not to freak out about it because I had to come to terms with that all my life. Liberals are suddenly aware that there's this other world in America and that doesn't agree with them, doesn't like them, and has different opinions. And they want to stomp it out. They were convinced that this election was going to do so. They were convinced that the demographic tide of America had changed. And the media told them that. Day after day after day, the media telling them Donald Trump couldn't win, the media telling them Hillary Clinton was going to win, this was going to usher in decades of Democratic power. So part of their anger is similar to what happened in 2000, where they felt cheated. They feel cheated by somebody. They don't know who. They keep pointing fingers at different people, hoping that sooner or later they'll find out who cheated them out of their righteous power of controlling America.
You know, I was just looking, Zach, I don't know what Zach says, it's a research firm, and it has the title of their article, here are the name of the businesses that still sell the Trump brand. So I guess the inference is now we have to blackball or punish all of these businesses that still sell the Trump brand. You know, one of them that does still sell the Trump brand is the Lord & Taylor. And I would just say to my listeners, that's a great store. I love shopping there, too. They've got great sales. And so it's just a great alternative for that level of merchandise, just FYI. So, Dan, what do we do in the face of this? Have you thought of any solutions? You know, people listening are just average Americans. You know, they're not celebrities. They don't have talk shows. They don't appear on ABC or NBC. And so what can they do to respond to all of this? What can the American consumer do?
Well, the American consumer has a lot of power, and the left is using it right now. They have motivated their base to go out in March. They've motivated their base to call Capitol Hill. And they've motivated their base to call businesses. The right needs to do the same. So if you're listening right now and you're upset about this, then pick one of those groups that you're happy with. Pick a show that you watch locally and say, I saw that you were attacking Donald Trump, or I saw that you were spinning the news in a wrong way. If you don't like that, then you should call them. If you're not happy about what Nordstrom did, call Nordstrom's corporate headquarters. Don't send an email. Call them, because calls are track more. Calls have more power. The same with Capitol Hill. If that's how you feel, then that's the way to express yourself. The left has learned this. They know that they can put bodies in the street. That's why they're planning just a series of protests. They're planning the general strike, which is supposed to be a nationwide general strike. They're planning a March for Science, which conveniently is on Earth Day, which is a big lefty day. The March for Science. Don't be fooled by these things. A lot of conservative women were fooled by the March for Women. It wasn't a march for women. It was a march for some women. It was wildly left-wing, wildly anti-Christian, wildly anti-life, and yet it goes out there and is put out as a march for women. It's a fraud. Don't buy into these things.
I agree with you, Dan, and I think look, we know, you guys track this, Media Research Center tracks this all the time, the left has a huge megaphone. Between Hollywood and television, Saturday Night Live, and all the networks, their news outlets, they have a very loud voice. And, of course, when their politicians speak, they're there to echo their words. So they make a lot of noise. They bang a lot of drums. But we all know what happened in the election. We know what the American people did. And so I want people to be heartened by that. That has not changed. In fact, in many ways, if the election were held again, Donald Trump might get more votes based on what's been happening. But we need to be smart, and we need to take a stand. So with those stores that I just mentioned, if this bothers you, let's all do something about this. I will call Nordstrom's myself, Dan, instead of just sending the card back. I think that's a great suggestion, something practical that we can do. Dan, thank you so much for tracking this. Media Research Center is one of the best. And, Dan, you've been at this for a long time, so thank you for all that you've done.
Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to be on you and on your show. And I can tell you, we can't do this without you. You talk about the last megaphone. If it weren't for talk radio, the conservative movement would be dead.
Yeah, that's true, I know. All right, so we're both doing our part. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, we've been leading these tours to Washington, D.C. for almost 20 years, and we've never had a response like we've had this year. We're going to fill up early for both our June and our September Spiritual Heritage Tours. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will be our historian, and he'll be commenting all along the way, taking your questions and interacting with the group. We're going to be going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown as well on a separate tour that just precedes the Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon Spiritual Heritage Tour. So, if you'd like to go on one or both of these trips, you can find out all the information, all the details at the website spiritualheritagetours.com. Spiritualheritagetours.com. 2017 may be your year to join us on one of these spiritual heritage tours.
Physicians keep learning after medical school in order to better save lives. Shouldn't Christian leaders keep learning to better save souls? Hi, I'm Dr. John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi, and online around the world. Are you a Christian leader who thinks it's important to keep learning? WBS online weekend and evening classes allow graduate students to become better equipped to make disciples in a constantly changing world. For more information, visit wbs.edu.
Life, love, and family. Featuring the American Association of Christian Counselors President, Dr. Tim Clinton. Each weekday evening, you'll hear Dr. Clinton and his expert guests address important and sometimes difficult issues of our day that impact your life, your love, and your family, using the scriptures as their text. Access to archive programs is available at lifeloveandfamily.net. Life, Love, and Family, 11 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
These days, health insurance is incredibly expensive, especially if you don't have coverage through your employer. If you're concerned about the costs or the ethical dilemmas of insurance, here's great news. There's an affordable, God-honoring alternative. It's called MediShare. Unlike insurance, MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing community whose members share each other's medical expenses. It's about half the cost of insurance, and it's fully acceptable under the law. Best of all, you never pay for things that go against your beliefs. If you're a Christian looking for a truly affordable healthcare solution, MediShare is just what the doctor ordered.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-23. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Imagine the following. A small group of white supremacist computer geeks were discovered to be stealing government property from dozens of Republican congressional offices for whom they provided information technology services. They're also suspected of stealing legislators' emails and other House communications, possibly including traffic involving the most sensitive national security-related committees on which some of their employers serve. Think this story would be basically ignored by the mainstream media? Well, that's exactly what is happening to an actual scandal with all these features, only the congressmen are all Democrats and the IT contractors are all Muslims, originally from Pakistan. And with the notable exception of the Daily Caller and a few other online publications, all we've heard from the press has been crickets. This travesty demands a rigorous damage assessment, an overhauled counterintelligence capability, and a truly free press. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
All right, Sandy Rios back with you. Hey, I forgot who I was for a second. No. All right. Isn't it something? You just listen to the news. And, you know, yesterday was the first day I confess to you that I actually really got down again. It, you know, that this past year, during the election was wearing, and I think it was wearing for all of us, and we were so concerned about the country. Yesterday is the first day I had that same, like, sense of dread again. It's funny, because we were singing a song in church on Sunday, one of the old hymns. I can't remember the song, but it was No Need to Fear or Dread. No Need to Fear or Dread. And I was reminded, hey, you know, I've forgotten so quickly about God's role in all that's happening and trusting him. How do we forget to trust him so quickly? How do we forget, you know, the things that he's done in our personal lives and in the lives of the nation, and have such small faith? You know, I am praying for people in the White House. I'm actually praying for lots of them, praying for the Trump family. I'm praying for people behind the scenes working with them, who I know are bearing a huge burden, and I would encourage you to join me. Will you join me with that? Let's just call out heaven on their behalf and ask God to really intercede and encourage them in all the best sense of the word, and so and to give them strength, and to help us to remain steadfast. Look, we don't know what the future holds. I'm not a Pollyanna pie in the sky, and neither do I believe that we just pray and then let God take care of everything. We are his hands. We are his feet. And so we have, for the things that we can do, we should do them. But ultimately, this is what trips me up. I think that somehow I feel the burden of it much too much sometimes. It's a little aggrandizing of myself to think that I could actually make that much of a difference. But I do want to do my part. I want to do my part. And I'm encouraging you to do your part. You know, yeah. Speaking of the shopping, we were at TJ Maxx a couple of days ago, and a very nice clerk, and I was buying something, and I just said to her, you know, I'm not happy with your company's decision to boycott Ivanka Trump's products. And she looked at me kind of uncomfortable. I said, I'm just saying, I know you are very sweet. It's not about you. It's about your company. But I'm asking you to tell your supervisors, I'm not happy with this. And TJ Maxx and the other companies should remain neutral. You have shoppers who don't agree with that. You should remain neutral. That's all we're asking. Remain neutral. I said, could you please communicate that? And she said, yes. So, you know, it wasn't hostile. It's just, don't do that. We don't all agree. And yet a lot of us are your customers. So you don't take sides on this issue. Anyway, but mostly I want to communicate to you today to be, we just need to be in prayer and just calling again out the heavens, to help us and to help our country. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, how we need you. We are so grateful that you gave us some breathing room. Now let us be good stewards of that. I was just praying about that yesterday. Lord, what would you have me do? What would you have me do? And of course I'm doing all I can. I'm doing what I can. In terms of public policy and informing people, but on a personal level, I just want to be more faithful to talk to people about the Lord and about eternal things. And that's one of the things that we can do too. But I hesitate to even say that without a caveat that says, but not just that. We don't just talk about that. We just don't open our mouths and talk constantly. We don't speak scripture every moment. We say, I'm going to go brush my teeth. I have to wash the dishes. We talk about practical things. So the balance of our lives is that God is in everything, including brushing our teeth and reading the news. And so that's the place we want to be, where we acknowledge him in everything, but we still are human, going about our business, using our mouths to talk about all kinds of things in addition to his word and blessing and praising him. And speaking of blessing and praising him, one thing we could do is help these little girls in India. That's something practical that we can do that transcends the political scene here. It's only $7.08 a day to send money for one day to rescue these little girls from the red light district, girls as young as 8, trafficked and sold in Mumbai. And if you would like to help us, you can do that by calling, yes, I've got the number right here, calling 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396, or go online to afr.net, and make your most generous pledge. Well, there is some humor. I'm going to share with you something. It may not sound funny as you listen to it, but trust me, it is. Here is Nancy Pelosi.
We'll say this. I didn't know until I heard from our colleague that the tweet of General Flynn today was scapegoat. Scapegoat. You know what a scapegoat is? That means in a community where people want to absolve themselves of guilt, they get a goat and they heap all of the ills onto the goat, and then they run the goat out of town. So the inference to be drawn from his statement is that other people have blame that should be shared in all of this. The good news is that General Flynn is gone.
Why am I laughing? Because that was not true. That was a totally made up Twitter account. Remember, I told you there are a lot of people, you know, pretending to be lots of people on Twitter and Facebook and making up names. Well, somebody has done it for Michael Flynn. So she went on and on and on about that tweet from General Flynn when, in fact, it was a fake account. That's the funny part. Elijah Cummings is the one, the congressman from Maryland, who told her, oh, General Flynn tweeted about, you know, of course, it wasn't true. And so she made a fool of herself, which is not hard for Nancy Pelosi. So now Doug McElway did a really fine report last night about the leaks and the danger of the leaks. And I've talked about them already in regard to Michael Flynn, but I want Doug, you to hear Doug's report. Let's listen.
I'm disgusted. I'm a professor. How dare you?
There is an anti-Trump anger sweeping the country. It's manifesting itself in street protests.
This is what democracy looks like.
In campus rioting. In labeling Trump and his supporters as fascists.
A fascist is someone who's organizing a mass movement that's attacking women, immigrants, black people, other minority groups in a movement of genocide.
The anger is also taking shape in the violation of Senate decorum.
The senators impugn the motives and conduct of our colleague from Alabama.
Anti-Trumpism is also being fueled by bad reporting. Many publications recently told the story of the Muslim American Olympian fencer detained by customs, failing to note that her detention happened in 2016 under the Obama administration. Republican members of Congress are now facing hostile crowds at town hall meetings.
Bring him out! Bring him out!
This was the first time a police department decided I needed an armed escort to safely leave the event. So something very different is going on, very ugly.
For Democrats, the disruptions are reminiscent of the Tea Party movement. They reject accusations that the protesters are paid or transported in.
What a dismissal of democracy.
There have been somewhere around 80 to 90 organizations that have started just since the election. The majority of those people starting the organizations have never organized before. They've never been involved in politics before.
Yeah, maybe. Could I just say the Tea Party movement, I said this before, but could I repeat it? I was at the first Tea Party rally in D.C., and I can tell you that people drove from all over the country spontaneously to be there. They paid their own way. They didn't even stay in hotels. You know, they drove overnight and they rallied because of the Obamacare plan. They were so upset about it. It was amazing. There were hundreds of thousands of people in Washington. It was just an amazing thing. This movement is not organic. All we have to do is look online at all the various organizing for action, which was the Obama group, is right in the thick of this. I was going to play you some audio of that this morning with Obama encouraging people to organize. And get out there. This is a widespread movement of organizing, you know, for action, they call it. But it's organizing for undermining the country, for resisting, for stopping, for breaking down the systems. I told you last week that the immigrants are confessing that not all of them, those on the left, those that have been co-opted by the left, are willing partners with the left, that they want to break down the immigration system. They want it to collapse so that anybody can come in without any restraint at all. This is an organized effort to destroy the system. But Doug goes on with this report. Let's listen.
There is some evidence of central planning. Five former Democratic congressional staffers have set up the website Indivisible. More than 4,500 local groups have signed on to the site to resist the Trump agenda in nearly every congressional district in the country. The guide has been downloaded over a million times. They hope to channel the anger against Trump into victory in the 2018 midterm elections. But one candidate for Democratic Party chair believes that's a mistake by again alienating the one demographic group that put Trump in the White House.
They don't really give a crap about if the president is an insult dog. The reality is, we did not offer a positive message to anyone that I'm related to. What we did is we said, how offensive. Grow up.
The White House is said to be bracing for some kind of a Democratic stunt when the president addresses a joint session of Congress. Perhaps a public taunt like Joe Wilson's, or a refusal to applaud when the president enters the chamber, or perhaps another boycott.
All right, so that was Doug McElway. Now, there are a lot of things swirling. I've already talked to you this morning about the complicity of the CIA. You have to know that the agencies are filled with leftists. It's been 8 years. The president and his men were very thorough, and especially with the CIA, the Department of State, the Justice Department, the EPA, all of those agencies have been filled with leftists. There, if there are any people who hold an orthodox view of life and truth and democracy, then they keep their heads down and they don't have courage, or they wouldn't still be there. So this is an overwhelming battle. I'm sure that Donald Trump had no idea the lengths and the depths to which the left had gone to prepare for their revolution. They just didn't expect Donald Trump to win. And now they are sort of, in some ways, tipping their hand to who they really are before time. Now, they may tip their hand and it may be too late. I don't know. They may have success in completely bringing down the government. This may be the moment for them. I don't know. But it also could be that Americans like you and me will see the depravity, the debauchery, the depth of the level of their subversion. We will be repulsed by the things that they're saying and doing in such a way that there will be enough pushback that they won't prevail. It certainly happened in the election. Now, I guess the question is, do you have the guts to see these things through? If you went to the poll and you voted for something besides Hillary Clinton, do you have the guts to see these things through? Or are we just too comfortable to fight for what we know is right? It may come to that. It may actually come to that. Let me just say that Adam Credo has written an article that's pretty intriguing, in which this is, I'll just read his words. The abrupt resignation Monday evening of White House National Security Advisor Michael Flynn is the culmination of a secret, months-long campaign by former Obama administration confidants to handicap President Donald Trump's national security apparatus and preserve the nuclear deal with Iran. According to multiple sources in and out of the White House who described to the Washington Free Beacon a behind-the-scenes effort by these officials to plant a series of damaging stories about Flynn in the national media. The effort, said to include former Obama administration advisor Ben Rhodes, the architect of a separate White House effort to create what he described as a pro-Iran echo chamber, included a small task force of Obama loyalists who deluged media outlets with stories aimed at eroding Flynn's credibility, multiple sources revealed. The operation primarily focused on discrediting Flynn, an opponent of the Iran nuclear deal, in order to handicap the Trump administration's effort to disclose secret details of the nuclear deal with Iran that had long been hidden by the Obama administration. Now, there's a lot more to this article. Ben Rhodes, of course, bragged about how he lied to the media and how he used them, and no one ever took him to task for it. They thought it was kind of funny. Now, this is when he was pushing through the Iran deal. Remember, Ben Rhodes is a novelist. He's not an expert in foreign policy. He's a writer, a novelist. And Ben said himself, isn't clear. Let's see. This is what Ben Rhodes says. We had test drives to know who was going to be able to carry our message effectively and how to use outside groups like Plowshares, the Iran Project, and whomever else. So we knew the tactics that worked. And Ben is proud of the way he sold the Iran deal. We drove them crazy, he said to the deal's opponents. And so now there are reports that he's involved in this too. It doesn't have to be just one person. It can be a group. There's an interesting article in Breitbart this morning, The Left's Alinsky Plan to Destroy the Trump Administration. It's written by Joel Pollack, and we'll put this on our Facebook page, and you can share it. I'll see if I can find, maybe some others will link to our Facebook that I haven't mentioned as well, that I've cited this morning. We need to be praying, and I bet you will now, won't you? And be sure and call India Partners and do your part to help these little girls. Go to AFA.net to make your most generous pledge. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.